Okay, we're continuing on page Tsadi Zion, Os Kuf Lamed Zion, 137, the last paragraph of this largest section of the book of believing in God's divine supervision, and we're closing up the issue of prayer. Vine, Kasher Ha'adam Mispalo V'Sachin Kona, when a person davens and speaks to his Creator, there's two possibilities in how you will express yourself. Aleph, number one, Shemedabri Makadosh Baruch Hu Balashon Nistar. You speak to Hashem in an expression of Nistar. Literally means a hidden expression, but it means referring to God in the second person. Who? Using the word He. He is. Third person. Mixing up my people here. Okay, third person. You're not directly talking, you're talking about him. You're referring to him, but you're not speaking to him. That's one way. Beis, Shemedabra Kadosh Baruch Hu Lashon Nochach Ata. You're speaking direct, that's second person, which is Ata, you, talking to you. There's two ways to talk to Hashem. Ube'emesh She'ikar Tachlis Atfila Kitsurasa Ulasuach Imkono B'Lashon Nochach. The truth is, the primary goal of prayer, in the way it should be said, is to speak to God in a direct expression, directly to you. Now, he's not merely referring to the kind of words you use, because we say Baruch Atah Hashem. It's not just the Atah is the word you use, but to feel that you're speaking directly to Hashem. That's the most important thing. It's not just saying, you know, Hashem, why, please, you know, please, you should help me. It's not just using the word you, but feeling the word you, that it's really you, right there. Initially, this will be very difficult. Next page, Kate. Okay? The soul isn't going to feel that. That Hashem is evident and appearing to you right next to you. Because you don't feel that way, and you feel uncomfortable saying things that you don't feel are so. Become welcome, still and all. Al ha'adam lihisragel asos kein. Person should get accustomed to saying this. Ubeveshach hazman, and over time, laat laat, slowly, slowly, yizakeyu Hashem yisparach shmo, shiarkish yizakadosh baruch liyodo. You will begin to feel that Hashem is right next to you. Now, we can get a little lesson from, although it's not a total lesson, from the telephone. Where you can speak to someone on the other side of the world without seeing them. Okay, it helps that they respond, but they're not there. Their mom is not there, it's something that. But you know they're around, and you can feel their presence. You can feel their presence closely. So you see, at least you can use that point that someone's so far away, but you can reach them. You can reach them. So Hashem doesn't need sophisticated equipment, and you don't have to pay any long distance charges, and you can reach him also. So that's we have to get used to speaking in the first person, the second person. Vegamzos bevadi yeshlasos badraga, and also this has been slowly. Shebitchila ikert suris dibura yebalash nisser. When you start talking, you talk about Hashem in the third person, using the word who. Rakmaat mi zeir milash nocha, and it's only a little bit of the second person. Ulaat latin, slowly, kashir chash maat chibur lulash nocha, when he feels an attachment to using the second person. You feel closer to Hashem, then yarchi v'sira, then you open up the column. You do more of it. Adashir yiska shakol dibura yibulash nocha, until you merit that everything you say is in the second person. You will merit to literally feel that Hashem is right opposite you. Avodah zu, this type of service, nekudas ha'pnimah shel chayim, is the focal point of life. In other words, changing Hashem from something distant to something present. Changing Hashem from him to you. That is really the focal point of our lives. Kiktachlas ha'mechuvin shel chayo adam, the goal of a person who lives on this world, to live with Hashem, and to feel that Hashem is standing directly next to you. Right, and that's how we started off the whole book and said we don't feel that way. And you need certain qualities to feel, and there's different levels and ways. So now he's saying, this program is telling you how you're going to mamish feel God there. Uba emes, and the truth is, shezu min havodas hakoshas shiyesh. The truth is, this is one of the hardest services to perform. To really feel that Hashem is next to you is a very hard service. Kemo shekasav Ramchal, as Lutzado tells us, in the tenth, in the parak of Yiras Chet, shehachush sos loze. The words he uses is that your senses contradict this ability because you don't feel it. If you don't feel it, how can you do it? But you can do it, but it's hard. Ulam kasher yargel adam asvokach. Look out, when a person gets used to this, la'at la'at beitminus, you do it slowly, slowly, but consistently. Bavadei she'isra Hashem yisparach shema. Hashem will certainly help you. Ulubsof yachish, as a Kaddish Baruch Hu nitzav le'ra mamash. At the end of the day, you will literally feel that Hashem is with you. V'yasuach imkono kidaber ish al reyo, and you will speak with your Creator like a person speaks to a friend. V'tchila hadover nira rachuk mina adam, in the beginning it will feel very distant from the person, ulam kechol shara margulis asom, but to the extent that person gets used to doing this, reishis shekol yomo misaviv la'kaddish baruch. Remember the whole program. Then the beginning of your whole day has to revolve around Hashem. Margulis asom shara kol yom yadabrim kono kefish v'rulel. And you'll accustom yourself that all day long you will speak to Hashem, as we've explained in the past. Then dover zayikol ala barbe. It'll be easier. A lot easier. If you get used to incorporating him in every mundane act you do, and praying to Hashem to help you that you could daven, and pray to Hashem to help you that you can learn, and when you get into your car to say Hashem, you're helping me with the car, and when the flat tire comes, you don't get angry, and all those things, then it gets easier to talk to Hashem. It gets easier to talk to him in the second person. Yikrevu la'avoda na'latzazu, and you will become closer to this exalted type of service. Lachush is baruch kenochach li'aramamish, to feel Hashem literally next to you. Udabrim abuchaleis kol sha'ad, to speak to him at every moment. Kidaber ish el reo, like a person speaks to his friend. Upshitus gemura, in utter simplicity. Ubetivius gemura, and completely natural. Ka'ach ha'isat suras chayim shel gedoli hadoros b'chol doros. This was the way of the life of great leaders of past generations, in all generations. What? They felt literally with their senses that Hashem is very, very close to them. You know, just thinking, this phenomenon of this YouTube where people make little videos of themselves or whatever, and they just, I don't know where they sent to a central thing, you know, hoping, you know, that people are going to watch it. You know, it's like they're talking to people. They really don't know who their crowd is. And you're hoping they're going to watch it. And millions of people are doing this. It's an unbelievable phenomenon. There's millions. You go to a YouTube site, you just Google www, whatever. You just Google YouTube, YouTube, TUBE. And like every Narish kite in the world. You know? It's just unbelievable. What? And I was asking around, you know, like, what is it exactly? So it's like, you know, people just talking. Yeah. There was a cute one that CNN was saying, you know, this booby, this must have been a Jewish booby, who is just saying her grandson is videotaping her, and she's saying, oh, have a happy new year. Saying how nice it is that you think of your booby, this and that, for about 2 minutes. And it goes up there, and it was one of the most popular ones of the day. You know, they rate what are the popular ones by the hits. So it's like, and it's like Narish. A lot of this is Narish. A lot of this stuff is filth. You can't look at it. People make their own little movies, like a 3 minute movie, a 5 minute movie. You can get the unedited hanging of Saddam Hussein on YouTube. Oh, okay. And the boat. Okay. In other words, like, where else? You know, because you probably can't just send it. It's too big to send to individuals. So you just send it to that site or whatever. And like the whole, everybody's a star. You know, you can have 3 or 4 girls doing a slumber party and just videotaping it. You know, and that's. But who are they sending to? They don't know. You don't know who you're sending the message to, but you're sending it. People spending hours probably putting these videos together. Yeah. What?
Some of them you can see watching one Yeshiva boys choir. Some kids from camp did a whole shtick around it.
Whatever.
But what I'm saying is,
it takes time. And who's it going to? I don't know. Someone's going to see it. So, you know, so it means we have the koyach to do this. We have the koyach. We have the innate ability to talk to those that we don't even know are around. But we know someone is going to see it. So, you know, you figure Hashem cares about you more than that YouTube world out there. And, you know, if you put in your effort for a good prayer, Hashem will listen to it. You can be sure He's going to listen to it. Maybe we should YouTube our prayers. You know, you can YouTube anything you want, like anything. You know, like some of the stuff is just stupid stuff. It's just stupid. It's not filth, not anything, just stupid. They'll put anything up you want. So, you know, put up a davening where there's no talking. You know?
A million hits. Everyone's so surprised they don't believe it.
Yeah, it's a phenomenon. It'd be a nice thing. Rafal, that'd be a good job for you, Rafal. Set up a camera. David, set up a camera. Like, you know. And just a picture of davening. And then after the davening.
That's right, in Westmount we have the camera go.
Right. The cafeteria? So anyway, but in here would be perfect. You get a camera set in the back.
That's what we want to do.
And then you just film it. Then put, afterwards you insert comments. Welcome to a world of speaking Hashem. Is this foreign to you? Is this, like a lot of comments. Is this alien to you? Why is it alien to you? You know, you could really do a real, you know. Yeah, right. you make a title like the one that'll catch the talkers. Like, you really want to see some amazing talking in shul? Like, that's the title. Amazing. Yeah, everyone's going to, you'll guarantee you'll have thousands. And then they look on and says, you're wondering where the talking is. It's to Hashem. You know, it would be a good musr. You trick them into getting the musr. Okay, you do it for maybe five. Yeah, you start off here. Don't be fooled. This is a shul with lots of talking because it's really quiet. Just keep observing for a few moments, and then after 5 minutes, you wonder where the talking was. It was talking to Hashem. Is your prayer like this? If your prayer is not like this, then you know why isn't it? Blah 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 blah. I mean, you could really. You know, you get a lot of hits. You get a lot of hits. You know, okay, so it's somebody's mitzvah for somebody's olam haba. Okay, up for grabs. It's not hard. It's not hard to do it. It would not be hard to do it at all. I'm telling you. It's, yes?
I don't know if this has anything to do with this topic, but I've always wondered when Ashrei, specific, I don't know if there are a lot of others, but it's always hit me with Ashrei, that Southern Elf goes back and forth between direct and indirect talking to God, and if there's anything that relates to anything we're learning now.
It's good point. A lot of it's like preparing himself for what he's going to say, and then he says it. That's really what the Asher is. He's preparing himself to say it, and then he says it. I don't know. I have to think about it. I don't know. Okay, let's move on to the next chapter. Page Kuf Aleph. It's this nice book. You know, two blank pages, but he counts them as pages. Go from Tzadiches to Kufal. Yeah. So now the Rebbe is very smart. The Tzadik is very smart here. He's getting on the topic of Yira, which is fear. Now, Yira is not a topic that we like talking about. Fear of Hashem is not one of our favorite subjects. Things that we fear, we try to stay away from. Right? You have a fear of heights, then you don't go mountain climbing. You have fear of bugs, you know, you don't live in an ancient cabin, right? You know, certain things you're afraid of, you know, you don't deal with it. Fear of returning items to a store because you're afraid of talking to the salesperson, right? So you just have your spouse do that, right? So there's all kinds of fears, things we don't like doing. We stay away from things we don't like doing. So now you're telling me to fear Hashem, so you want to stay away from that, don't you? So Tzadik is smart, and he waits till the end of the book, because this is really for all intents and purposes. Okay, there's Ava afterwards, but it's very short. It's very short. So by the time he's going to finish year, we're really just about done with the book. And well, we got
to
see what that means. There is fear. There is fear. You'll see. No, no, no. Real good old fashioned fear. Good old fashioned fear of getting punished. Fear of getting punished. So the tzaddik is waiting until he's got you comfortable with Hashem. And you're included. You're talking to Hashem. You're talking to Hashem all the time. You're praying to Hashem all the time. And most likely you're recognizing how wonderful he is by this time. If you really are doing this program, then you've got to realize that Hashem is with you all the time. And if he's with you all the time and you're talking to him, and then if he's with you all the time, you see what he does for you all the time. You see what he does for you all the time. So at that point, you know, you feel comfortable with Hashem. And you realize that you're having a lot of pleasure by being with Hashem all the time. Only when you're up to that point can now we discuss the idea of fear. And that's the best time to bring it up. Okay, as opposed to talking about it early in the book. Wait till much later to talk about this. So that's what you're going to see, how he's going to discuss this topic in a very nice way. Hine shoresh habinyan shel ha'adam, the root of the edifice of the human the structure of the human being, who yiras ha'onesh, is the fear of punishment, good old fashioned fear of punishment, hanikras besvarim hakdoshim, which are called in the holy writings yira tata. Tata means lower, a lower level of fear, as opposed to the higher level of fear, which is called the awe of his majesty, the awe of his exaltedness, the awe of being in the presence of greatness, where you're overwhelmed with awe as opposed to fear. Okay, so we're going to talk about that now. The fear of punishment is divided into two parts. One is the heavenly punishment like Gehenim, Ukedaim, or similar punishments that are not this worldly. Beis Einish Kan Be'ara Be'yisurim Lemineim, a punishment down here in this world with suffering and the different kinds of suffering that exist. Let's talk about the first one. Let's talk about Gehenim a little bit. Yisurim V'Shamayim Ki Gehenim. No, big Gehenim. Sometimes I was saying Ki Gehenim, big Gehenim, whatever. Suffering in the next world. Hine bederech kenias hayira min onshe gehenim, the way to acquire a fear of heavenly punishment, yesh bakach koshalam, it's very hard for a person to really acquire this. For who? And the reason is, shrei ve'enov ena roa es gehenim, because you never saw gehenim with your eyes. V'alkein ena yorim akach, it's hard to be afraid of something you haven't seen yet. It's hard to be afraid of something you haven't seen. Yeah, maybe if God would take you there for a few minutes and take a good look at it, and take a picture of it, take a video, put it on YouTube, and you look at it, and you see, wow. Oh, I don't ever want to go there, right? That might help, but we don't have that. Kikach tivish alguf, this is the way of the body. Shein misyer midavar shein roa, so person doesn't fear things that he doesn't see. Right? We know that. That's why people smoke, even though they know it's bad for them, but they don't see it in front of them. They don't see the cancer cells spreading in their body and cultivating in their body when they're smoking. They don't see it. So it doesn't help. Even though you know about it and it could happen. Okay, it may help a little if you see other people who are dying from lung cancer who smoked. But it's still not you. And you say, if you would show me how the smoke is going into me and killing me, then I would see it. Okay, so nowadays they're doing kinds of models of what happens to the, I don't know what they call in your lungs, the little fibrous material in the lung that bronchioles. Bronchioles. I don't know what they're called, and how they get destroyed, and then the next thing comes, and they show you a little bit where you get the smoker's cough from and things like that, but you still can't see it inside yourself, like you know, now maybe the doctors could put a little, they put a little camera down your throat, and they maybe while you're smoking see what's going on, maybe. But you don't see it, so it doesn't affect you. You know, there was a book, the Picture of Dorian Gray. They made a play out of it, a movie out of it, Picture of Dorian Gray, where this guy was able to make a deal with the devil, Chvesu, whatever, makes a deal that he'll never age. He will never age. Right? But what they did was that they drew a picture of him. And every time he did an unscrupulous activity, he got uglier in the picture. Right? So like Imamish, he would speak Lashon Hara, boom, his mouth would look ugly, what a face. And it was like an ugly face, and you know, I'd have to deal with that. He looked beautiful, young, and everything. But the picture looked ugly. So, but every time, Mamish, you were told that that's what happened. So that might give you a little help to know if you're doing things that are wrong, right? The truth is, the Jewish people, when they lived in the Midbar, they pretty much knew what was going on. Right? They did things wrong, boom, right away. Or the idea of tzaras, right? You know, if you were talking to Lashon Hara, you got tzaras right away. You knew. So it was easier to have a fear of God in those days. But we don't have that. And why do we don't? Because God wants us to keep our free will choice. That's what Hashem doesn't want us to sense and feel, the terrible effects of an Aveira. Okay. Keep going on. V'ilu ha'adam ho'yazach, but if a person had clarity, he was pure. He could see through his soul the punishments in heaven, if you were holy enough. Then you could fear Gehenna. Pure tzaddikim, they get a vision of Gehenna. Great tzaddikim, they were able to be somehow connected and see if someone was in Gehenna and try to do a tikkun for them and these things like that. Yeah, but ulam, this is a catch 22. Ulam ekimen shirak yichidi school zogonkach, since only a few choice people merit this. Literally, al yidei nishmasam es hanas sabashmaim, to see through their souls what's happening. Vein behechr zogonkach rak lachashik far konas yir sonish. But they only got that after they acquired fear of God first. Right? That's what makes them holy people. Okay, nein se derech liknos al yidei nishmasam es yir sonish. There can't be a method of acquiring fear of God. Seeing a picture Gehenna, because you only get to see it as a reward after you have fear of God. So it doesn't work for us. I can't give you that as a solution. But there must be a way of acquiring a healthy fear of God without seeing Gehenna, because these tzaddikim had the fear of God before they saw Gehenna. So what is this? And the truth is, the main way to achieve and acquire this fear of punishment is through the power of the mind. It's the power of how the mind can imagine things. This guided imagery. That it's possible to visualize what Gehenna would appear like. And then you can come to some kind of fear. So it's possible. Your mind is eminently capable of feeling this. You just have to know how to guide it to feel it. That's the way. We've got to have to use our heads. Ulam dog, but that's the problem. Shema'ati mizair b'dorosenu elu yeshem koach tzir sichli chazak. There's very, very few people in our generation who have such a power to visualize this in a strong intellectual way. Shuchel tzair bo kein kokach v'tokev, that you can picture this so great in such a powerful way. Said it could have such a powerful effect on the heart to have a fear of punishment. Since there's so few people, as we were describing, that's very hard to acquire fear of punishment. There's very few people who have the intellectual capacity to mamish feel, to think and picture what Gehenna is. Because again, because the body can't see this. And the soul that does see, now let us be not, is hidden from the person. Your soul sees it, but you can't connect with it. Because the body doesn't see it. V'neshama shiro, and the body who sees it, nelamas yonom, it's hidden from the person. V'koach tzir ha-seichel chalashu, and the ability to visualize intellectually is weak. So what are we going to do? So l'kach, and therefore, ha-yamer ha-baseinu b'daris ha-chronos, shesavru pasku miladaber harbe be'inin yirsarnes. Therefore, the rabbis of the last generations, they felt and they decided to stop talking a lot about the fear of punishment. Stop talking about hell and damnation. You're all going to burn. You know, they stopped talking that way. Luma Sam, on the other hand, but this is the fundamental base of our service, and we can't leave it. What do you mean? This is the foundation. How can you leave a foundation? They engaged a lot in talking about hell. Alaf Akosha Rav Lasigal, even though it was very hard to get it. And in general, they engaged all their lives with the masses with this topic. And they never really merited completely. Because it's so hard to get. So it's a real catch-22. There are those who said, let's not bother teaching it, because we ain't going to get it. And those who tried aren't getting it either. V'nezev is that. Next page. Both groups. Derech Musukenes. It's a dangerous path. Shemar Medalik al Yiras Onus. Because if you skip over the step of fear of punishment, Umam Shikon, you keep going on. Okay, I'm going to go right on to love now. Move right on to love. And forget about the Yiras Onus. Hare Chaser Lo Esabasis. You're missing a foundation. V'chas v'shalom, and God forbid, v'shas katnus hamochin. That's a Kabbalistic term. In the time of katnus hamochin, katnus means small, literally small. Mochin means brains. The time of the small brains. What does that mean? It means at times where a human being has a small level of awareness of not, where you don't feel an attachment to Hashem. That's what the term means. Katnus hamochin, small-mindedness, small awareness. There are times where people don't feel so close to Hashem. Unafilus, and times where we fall spiritually. She'esh ha'ava, that fire of love, you figure, oh, I'm going to love Hashem so much, and because I love Hashem so much, I'm going to be close to Hashem. But guess what? That love of Hashem ain't a bo'eres bekirba, but it's not burning so strongly inside of you. So what power do you have to stop sinning? Since the fear of punishment has not been acquired inside of the person. In other words, what he's saying is there, those are, you know, let's just focus on love, loving Hashem. That's a happy, people like to talk about happy topics. I love Hashem, Hashem loves me. Love, love, love. That's a nice thing. It's nice. It's, you know, you feel good. Oh, Hashem loves me. This and that. My vote is going to focus on His love and how He loves me, and I love Him. We're a happy family, right? But then all of a sudden, a lot of things are going wrong for you. And all of a sudden, you don't notice the love so much. And then tempting situations come. And well, I don't love Him so much now. I'm in a bad. You know, I'm in a funk. Right? It used to be such an expression. I'm in a funk. Right? Or people have this expression, right? That, you know, Judaism doesn't do anything for me anymore. You know, it just doesn't do anything for me. You know, it's one of the, it's a trap that any Jew can fall into. I'm just not feeling anything. I'm not growing. I'm not, it's nothing. So let's indulge a little bit. The services don't do anything for me, so let's talk for a few minutes in davening, right? Services are, it's getting long. Let's go out for a kiddush, you know, whatever. Talk a little lashon hara, right? So at those times, the only thing that's going to stop you is the fear of Gehenna. That's the only thing that's going to stop you. So that's why you need to have it, right? You don't have that last, what do you call the, emergency fallback to stop the person from sinning, right? And we talked about this a lot of times in the past. Luma said, on the other hand, Hatzad Hasheni, There's another way of talking about it. There's a danger that way. It's hard to acquire it. In other words, we're going to spend a lot of time talking about how much God loves us, or we're going to spend a lot of time about how much God, we should be afraid of Him. There's only so much time in the day. Okay, we're going to forget about love. Let's just talk about fear. But you know what? After all the work, you're still not going to get it. So you can spend your whole time just trying to acquire fear of punishment. And more than that, you don't get past it. You don't get past that at all. You leave this world with a very little bit. So it's a hard issue to deal with, the tzaddik is telling us. Like, what are we going to do? Well, you know, we got to get that fear of God. That's really important. We're going to work on it every day. Talk. So, you know, even if you get something, you know, but what about the love? So what's going to happen? The truth of the matter is, if you look a little bit at American history, right, the foundation of North America's relationship with God is based totally on the fear of punishment, or was, right? And this came from the Puritans and those, you know, fire breathing preachers like Jonathan Edwards, who gave this famous speech. You know, in the 1700s, well, these Puritans, you may have had to learn about them in school, right? And he talks about, you know, he uses such lines like, "Put the fear of God in their bellies," you know, real good old fashioned religion. Give me that old time religion, right? You know, and he you read what he writes. He writes, you know, God abhors you, and He holds you like a spider over a raging fire, and He can just drop you into that fire, and you'll be consumed. Ah. You know, any second. You know, and you're afraid. Your mom is afraid. And they wanted to instill that into the masses. You know, and you know, it had a bit to it. And there was a tkufa, a period where it worked. It worked. You know. But their whole idea was fear of punishment. Right? But today that just doesn't go anymore. You know, most North Americans, even if they believe, you ask them, do you believe in God? Yeah, I believe in God, right? But they're mostly unobservant, you know, because they say, you know, why should I want to be close to an angry God? God is an angry God. That's the founding of America was based on an angry God. So there's an angry God, it's an angry God. So guess what? We're now much more technologically advanced. We now have doctors that can give us heart operations, transplants. So you know what? We don't need God anymore. You see, 1740s was just at the cusp of the Enlightenment. The world wasn't so enlightened. You know, you could just drop dead any day. You know, so there's a fear of God. You know, nobody lived that long. You know, average age was in the, I don't know, 30s. You know, maybe people died in their 20s. Was unusual. It was not unusual at all to die in the 20s. Die at childbirth. It wasn't a very lifelong expectancy, right? So, you know, and you could just drop dead on the spot. You know, you get these diseases will ravage a city. You know, black plague, whatever. So you talk, we're afraid. Yeah, but now we have science. We can clone ourselves. What's to be afraid of? You know, I can, you know, and now we have all these diets and these exercise programs, and I look young. Yeah, these people in their 60s, they look like they're in their 20s. You know, they spend all day putting moisturizer on. I don't know what they do with surgeries and this and that, you know, and they watch their weights and their figures and this and the mamas, and you wear flashy clothes, and your mamas, you think you're going to live forever. Who needs God? The only God I know is this angry God. So they don't want nothing to do with an angry God. So that's not going to help either, you see. So that's an elixir. How do we balance this? So let's talk about it. Kuf Lamed Tes. And he said that Tzadik does this in such a beautiful way. Reishis Naskel Avayir. Esanakura Apnimi Shal Yerushalayim. So let's begin by, let's explain the bottom line, the focal point of what we call fear of punishment. What's it really based on? Klal Mutzaku, we have a solid rule, Kifishik Farkasadmo El, Misper Pumas, we've written many times. Go back to an old rule. She called Inyan V'Inyan Ala Adam Liris Bas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In every aspect of life, a person is supposed to see God. And to see how can a person get close to God through this. So is the same thing regarding fear of punishment. We've said everything in this world, you have to relate to everything in this world, is how does this thing get me closer to God? Whatever you touch, whatever you deal with, whatever circumstance, you got to ask yourself, how is this getting me closer to God? That is the whole point of life. We've done this with our car. We've done this with our learning Torah. We've done this with our davening. We've done this with our spouses and our children and everything else. We've talked about it. So now we've got to talk about, how is having a fear of going to Gehenna going to get me closer to God? Got to employ the same strategy, right? And that's more challenging, as we said. Fear will normally cause a person to recoil. But what the tzaddik is saying, it really should bring us closer to Hashem. That is just like anything else. Everything in this world is supposed to bring you closer to Hashem. So is the fear of Gehenna supposed to bring you closer to Hashem. Oh, okay. How are we going to do that one, Rabbi? Right? So, let's go back over some of the steps. Got to go over the steps. Got to remember, okay, it's always everything in Judaism is in the context of the whole understanding of Yiddishkeit. Reishis, so let's start. Yesh limtso, reishis lesimtso es hakadosh baruch hu yiras ha'onish. Okay, first we have to find Hashem in the fear of punishment. Ula acher mikan, and afterwards, lahaskol lahavin keitzad nitlan skarav elavis baruch shoy de yiras ha'onish. Then we have to think and understand, how can we get close to him with the fear of punishment. So what do we mean? Reishis, number one, yesh lispon, let's reflect. Mi bara es ha'gehenim, who created Gehenim? Right. Who created Gehenna? So like, who created my tire? Who created my car? Who created Gehenna? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem created Gehenna. Okay. Harei Gehenna, who pre-Yitzirasa Shal Kadosh Baruch Hu. Gehenna is the fruit of God's creation. No Saval Kach. So let's think of the next thing. Yesh Yisporan. Mi Ma'anish B'Gehenna. Who's the one that inflicts the punishment in Gehenna? Who? Right? V'hei ha-gehenem p'yom ha-yov, the Gehenem works on its own? U'mani gesasa v'kol chasasa, it has its own powers that are not connected to Hashem? V'adish, so that's not true. Rak HaKadosh Baruch Hu yachidu miyuchad boru mechadish b'chol reges ha-gehenem. God, the unique God, creates and maintains every moment Gehenem. Like we say in the prayer this morning, Yotzer or uvorei choshech. He fashions the light and creates the darkness. Right? Yotzer uvorei choshech. Right? So, he creates the evil. Lashon hoivin, the present tense. And everything in the world is renewed. Every, as we speak, Gehenna is being pumped up with more coals. As we speak. And he is the one who punishes people in Gehenna. So let's get that clear. It's not God says, okay, I'm writing the order. You are a shmo. Go to Gehenna. I don't want to know from you. And let the guys in Gehenna punish you. No, no. God's directly doing that. Okay. Cool, man. I hope we get to the good part before we take the break here. Atun explains. So let's reflect a little more. Mipnei ma bores Gehenna. Why did God create the Gehenna? Right? Why did he create him? You think because God just wants to, you know, do bad to people? He's been frustrated with us. He gave us free will choice for 80 years. He said, I had enough of your mishigasim, now I'm going to give it to you. Nah, low below, that can't be. He doesn't get upset. We know that God wants us to be close to him. That's why he created us. We know that. Now, you're not going to know that starting the book on page Kofes. You know that after we've done the last 100 pages. But you know Hashem wants to be close, wants us to be close to Him. But, the kasher yesh mechitza shalavonos, but sins create barriers. And we create barriers when we sin. Hamonas mina adam lios karav adavik veis vershon, that prevent a person from being close and attached to a person. Atashem. I'm sorry, because I'm thinking of the analogy while I'm talking. Right? Right? And that's the truth. We think it's God's doing bad things to us that create the barriers. We create the barriers. When we have problems with relationships, is it always the other one who's creating the barriers, or it's us? When we do bad things, we create the barriers.
Who created sin?
Who create? God created us with the ability to sin and to create those barriers. Every time we sin, we create a barrier. And the bigger the sin, the bigger the barrier. At a very simple level. Why are relationships, you know, what's many of the cause of relationships breaking down? Because we're into other things and not into our spouses. You know, watching hockey all day long without your spouse is not something that's going to make your marriage thrive.
Watch it with your spouse.
It's not going to. And it's a barrier. You're creating a barrier. And the more barriers you create, the less you're going to love your spouse. You're the one creating the barriers. Now, I'm not saying that the other spouse can't create barriers too. And we both create barriers. But when you're dealing with Hashem, Hashem doesn't create any barriers. Hashem is always available. He's always available. He's right here. That's right. That's right. That's right.
You just can't forget that Hashem's always there, and then you'll always make the right decision.
Yeah.
And then you won't go together.
Correct. Well, correct. But let's just fill in a little bit more. You got the right idea. But sins create the barriers, it prevents a person from being close to Hashem. Azai, now that you created that barrier. And you won't be able to feel that closeness. So Achas min Avsharias Asagim Chesu, one of the ways to remove the barrier, not the only way. Zaydei Onshe Gehenim, it comes through the punishments of Gehenim. When you leave this world with all the garbage that you didn't do tshuva on, and loving the maple leaves, and loving, you know, things that are other than learning Torah, you go through a whole life and, you know, it's comb. You put in a few minutes a week, learning Torah. That's a big barrier. Don't forget, the world to come, all you're going to do is learn Torah. And if your whole life you always came up with excuses for not learning Torah, and you really never learned to like learning Torah, you aren't going to instantly like it when you leave this world. It doesn't happen. Right? So then you created a massive barrier. Or you were an egotistical person and you were arrogant. And an arrogant person is not going to like being near Hashem because that's the most humbling experience. So now you left this world with a package full, a suitcase full of barriers. And Hashem wants to give you the world to come. He wants you to, you cannot enjoy it because you created those barriers. And you want to get in. Hashem says, I can't, even if I let you in, you won't be able to appreciate it. It won't be Olam Haba for you.
So you don't have
a desire for all this physical. That's not true. Not true at all. And there's many stories I've said many times. Doesn't matter. It's the you. It's the chooser is there, right? Remember the chooser? The chooser, what you chose. I chose to love the maple leaves. That goes into the kishkas. I chose to live and die by the local sports team. That's part of you. And we brought you Gemaras. Gemaras that talk how the young girl said, who's dead, when you come back, bring me back a comb that I can brush my hair. And how Yashka still says till today, start up against the Jews. Even in the world of Emes. You cannot. I spent a whole session. It must have been away that. You leave this world with every flaw you had in this world. It's part of your being. It's part of your being. That's part, remember, you are the chooser. That's all you are. That email attachment. That's what you are. And you attach it with every mishigas. You leave this world with every mishigas. That's the reality. And you leave this world and you say, that's, I don't want nothing to do with Olam Haba. I'm not interested in that. You know? A person every Motzei Shabbos says, you know, I got a few hours I could learn Torah. What a pleasure. No. No, we go to see this movie, this, that, everything. Learning? No, forget it. It's not for me. And we know it's not for you. You know why? Because you don't spend enough hours on it. And you can't say, oh, I wish, and this and that. You know what? We make time for every other Mishigas but for learning Torah. So it's not on your radar. It's not on your radar. And you're an arrogant person. That's who you are. You'll die this world being an arrogant person. And it's dovuk to you. You're attached to it. The chooser. You are the chooser. Now, yes, there's a neshama. But that neshama comes to the next world with all that garbage. And wants it. And it's dovuk. It's attached to you. And you can't enjoy the world to come. Sal, you had a question?
So how is Gilgul Neshama applied to these?
Gilgul Neshama is very simple. It's that you, that chooser, boom, back you go.
I don't understand.
Back you go.
Neshama has been 7 times over here. So which?
That's not important right now. It's a new body, but if it's a real Gilgul Neshama, it's the same chooser. It's the same chooser. The same chooser comes back. The same chooser comes back. But you're unaware of what the past life choosings was. And then you're wondering why Hashem is creating certain things in your life. You know why? Because God's trying to make you correct it now. Why do I keep having this problem with X? You know what? Because you never dealt with it in the last world, so maybe you'll deal with it now. That's why it's happening. Okay, unfortunately, we're leaving you on a limb, which is not nice, but I don't have an Eitzah.